You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
I hope you rich folks don't mind slumming it in the humble abode of the poorest billionaire in the gang. But this is exactly why I built Mountain Head.
Look at this place, Soups.
Thank you.
No, I just said look at it. No compliment implied. Simply look at it.
Here we go. All right. Four presidents of tech. Get your net worth on. Yeah!
59.
63 bill.
Feels good.
220 bill.
Guys,
is this on every channel?
There have been a number of occurrences since your launch.
UN officials are now openly attributing the recent uptick in ethnic tension to powerful new generative AI tools unveiled last week on Tram.
I just want to say this is not on you, Venice.
Obviously, it's not on me. Why would you even say that?
Your platform is inflamed, volatile situation.
Weapons stockpiling, some bank runs.
Violence.
Chaos.
And people are dying.
Not real. Heads don't explode like that.
Heads don't explode like that?
No.
How do heads explode?
We are the smartest men in America.
We literally have the resources to take over the world.
This ugly death trap house might have just become humanity's global HQ.
Boom. Fucking go!
The president wants to speak to us.
Guys, we could actually do this.
I can handle Argentina and Paraguay.
We could probably buy Haiti.
Or Belgium, those chocolatey assholes.
This does not look like somebody who should have the keys to America.
The world wants your algorithm to stop being racist and shitty.
Are you trying to hurt me?
Things can't get any worse.
This is a terrifying experience, and I don't know that I'll ever recover.
Hello, and welcome to the documentary section of this week's Periodic Table of Awesome, as we look into the future documentary, Mountain Head. That's right.
Future? I'd call it present.
I was going to say, future.
Can we say near futurism? I don't know. What can we
say, like, tomorrowism?
No, yeah. Look, I mean, tomorrowism, that's fine. Hello, Jill. Hello, Quinny. Hello, Peter. Nice of you to join us.
Hello. And welcome back, Pete.
Hello to me.
Hi. I exist. Here I am.
Very exciting. We have missed your face.
Yes, we've missed this. And this is a very...
I've missed my face too.
But you've been a bit busy. What have you been doing, Peter?
Yeah.
I've been working real hard.
Yeah, you have.
The last three Tuesdays of last month, the series I've been working real hard on went to air. So that was a fun time.
And and we've all been watching it, and it's very, very good. And we love that. And thank you very much for doing that show for us.
It's called The Cath End.
It's called The Kimberly. And we've had a very, very, very lovely reaction from
everyone,
the viewing audience, which has been wonderful.
But it's mostly our opinion that you're looking for. We know this. It's okay.
Yeah, we actually didn't tell you, Pete, but this week is we're going to spring it on you. We're actually reviewing The Kimberly.
Yeah!
Know that we said that we're reviewing Mountain Head and we just played a trailer for it, but fuck that shit. We're going to review The Kimberly.
Brutal. Brutal being making me watch Mountain Head for no reason.
Yes.
You leave Mountain Head alone. It's a very misunderstood film that is going to come back and haunt everyone in about, I don't know, maybe 50 years.
No, it's not.
2 days.
I was going to say, it's not going to come back and haunt anyone because everyone's just going to look at it and go, fuck that film. Because it's so accurate and right and I hate it and it's fucked.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go. There's my review. Anyway, moving on to the next thing that we'd like to talk about.
Okay, great. Thanks. Well, anyway, that was Mountain Head review. There's Quinny's part.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Well, quite frankly, it'll be nice for a change because everybody else can get a word in and I'll shut the fuck up.
What was it? It was HBO and then it was Max and then it was HBO Max and then it was HBO Go and then it was Go Max Go and then it was Max Headroom.
Max Steel,
Maximilian,
Max Quest,
Johnny Quest Max. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's back.
Pepsi Max.
But yes, Jesse Armstrong has directed and I think wrote it. Did they write it?
Yeah, written directed by Jesse Armstrong.
Yes.
Who most famously was the showrunner of Succession?
Oh, right.
Is that the thing? Now, who's watched Succession?
Succession.
I don't know why you're pronouncing it that way.
Succession. I don't know. I've got a learning disability.
I started to watch Succession, but it stressed me out. I had to stop.
Mm-hmm. I have five episodes sitting there, and I have not been able to bring myself to watch it because I am completely done with the genre of rich people being cunts.
Finally, Quinny! You hear this? Oh, look, problems of a rich person. Don't care.
Yeah. Like, what was the one that we both watched, Dion, that was bizarre? Sirens.
God, that was a weird show.
Weird show about just a pack of rich people being utter fuckwits.
Yeah, and I couldn't even tell if it was being serious or if it was a comedy. Like, it was bizarre.
You remember that show, the woman across the road who watched the person who died? I liked that. I really liked that, but it had a bit of that kind of vibe where you're not entirely sure if you should be taking it seriously. And at least with that one, it really settled in. You went, oh, okay, we're in a parody here. But in this one, you left
it was
really
still
uncertain.
Too ambiguous.
You're like, anyway, we're not reviewing that shit. But we can talk about it later. Anyway, back to Mountain Head.
Yeah. Okay, Mountain Head. Quinny, do you have a synopsis for us?
Yes, it's very brief.
Excellent. Does anyone have a suggestion of a shit accent? could you do it? I'm voting for Elon Musk analog.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Wait, ketamine rule fueled Elon Musk analog.
I can't do that and read because my eyes are just rolling into the back of my head.
Fine. Okay. What about Jeff Bezos? I don't think anyone's heard him.
I have no idea what Jeff Bezos sounds like. I can give you a shit attempt at Elon Musk's weird not accent.
Also, you could try a lizard person Zuckerberg.
Once again, I have no idea what he sounds like.
Do Microsoft Sam.
What? Sorry?
Microsoft Sam.
The film follows.
I have no music.
God, anyone under 30 doesn't know what the fuck I just said.
I'm going to add music in post. Just imagine it.
Okay.
I'm going to use generative AI to put music.
Cool. Let's use generative AI to get a better synopsis than what everything else has been.
Hey Grok, give me music. No, I don't have that. I'm not going to get the white nationalist AI.
I don't even know what Elon Musk sounds like. He sounds like a dickhead. So I'm just going to sound like me.
Quinny, you're mean to Quinny tonight. Quinny.
What could I tell you? I've had a bad day with Quinny. Quinny's been a dick to me, so I'm going to be a dick to Quinny.
My friend.
The film, the film follows four billionaire friends on a secluded weekend retreat after the world goes through major, major turmoil. Yeah, I was hit in the face by X. I don't know.
That was the synopsis. That was like
it is the synopsis everywhere. Wow. Is two lines. A group of billionaire friends get together against the backdrop of a rolling international crisis. That's the other version of the synopsis.
Okay.
Two lines, but basically the plot being that one of the characters has just released a new AI model a suite of AI tools that make it infinitely easier to create completely picture perfect deepfake videos, and it is destabilizing the world. But he doesn't give a fuck because he's super fucking rich, and him and his billionaire mates go up to a friend's cabin to have a weekend of poker and pissing about.
Yes. But they go to the poorest billionaire's cabin.
Yeah.
And it's a tech bro-pocalypse. That's what the story is about, but told from the perspective of imagine if you're a fly on the wall at the super, 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 super rich people's house instead of in the riots on the street.
having a bad time? What if you were completely isolated from any of that and didn't give a shit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you've got, like, it's like, yeah, if you've got Musk, Bezos, and
Zuckerberg
in a place, you know.
In Bill Gates' house.
In Bill Gates' house.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you've probably got Bill Gates in there as well, who's trying to, he's the guy who has the new tech that is actually capable of detecting what is fake. And therefore, suddenly his stock is going through the roof.
Yes.
And it's like, they're just a pack of pricks.
What happens if in this tech bro landscape, one of the tech bros is doing stuff that actively harms it, and another one of the tech bros has the tools to like counteract that, and they don't want to do that because they don't care of the damage they're doing? Again, why do we want to watch movies about people we hate?
So when we found out about this movie, I thought, oh, okay, yeah, it'll be a little satirical comedy. I can get on board with that. I love Eat the Rich, like, as a genre.
Yeah.
And I do regularly watch political satire because it's kind of the only way you can deal with this stuff without killing yourself. And the first 5 minutes, I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Oh, these guys are awful. Oh, my God, this is so cringe. But by about half an hour in, I'm like, I want to turn this off. I want to turn this off. I want to turn this off.
Make this go. Yep. This Black Mirror episode is too long.
I did pause it a couple of times because I had the washing machine on and then I had to hang the laundry. And then I came back. I'm like, I don't want to fucking finish this movie. And then I saw that I had 10 minutes left. I'm like, oh, fine.
But you did.
And hate watched the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Well done.
Oh, God. It was such a struggle.
Mm.
Pete,
I think I need to mark myself up as not the intended audience for this one.
Yep.
Sure.
Because
in that case, Peter, who was the intended audience?
I'm not sure because I was quite bored. I was not having a good time, not because the people were horrible, but just because, like, I was bored.
Yeah. Mm.
And I didn't really buy it at its core. And I was bored. And then, like, it took a turn, and then I was, this is kind of a boring turn. Of all of the turns it can take, like, it should not be a boring turn, but somehow to me this is still just very, very boring.
I mean,
like, it should have, the turn should have been like, oh, now it's getting interesting, but I was like, okay, sure.
Yep. You're not just assholes, you're also fucking idiot assholes who.
Yeah. But I think the problem is, like, I'm good for an Eat the Rich comedy as well, and and I'm good for a kind of a true to modern times dark comedy, but I just didn't buy it. I didn't buy the core concept, and I didn't buy the core motivation of any of the characters, and then it was just like a lot of like dude bros talking, which I think
was
my main boredom issue there. Because once you kind of don't really buy the concept, then it's just like 2 hours of dude bros talking. Silver Fox Daddy Steve Carell can't save that, basically.
Oh, he was the worst of them all,
which he was supposed to be, and he does great evil, but like. Mm. I didn't buy it.
My problem with it is that, sure, it was 2 hours of dude bro talking and it was supposed to be funny, but I could not separate it from men that I have actually met that talk exactly like that.
Oof.
And so I'm like, no, this is too real. There's nothing satirical about it. There's no parody anymore because it's just accurate. Like the way... The intellectual posturing that they were doing in this film of, like, the analytical conversations and, like, oh, if we break this down at its core, it's like this and this and this. And they're just like, these are the dumbest dumb fucks you've ever met. And they just love to hear themselves talk. And they think they're smart. And they, like, back it up with, like, false facts and false quotes. And, like, think they, like, have enough knowledge about the world and the geopolitical climate and stuff like that. But they just want to hear themselves talk. And
I genuinely
didn't
went on this date
it.
Recently. So I'm like, I don't want to 2 hours of this.
I was going to say, it's okay, Julie, you don't have to come to my parties anymore.
Like the thing that does get like on every single one of my last fucking nerves about it is exactly that, Jill, that thing of them talking and talking and intellectualizing and pulling on, you know, all of these fucking things like, oh, you know, I really like Kant and that's a Nietzschean way of thinking. And it's like, yeah, congratulations. You've read a bunch of quasi fucking intellectuals, pseudo, like, yes, there's psychology, there's philosophy, there's all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But you're a dickhead. And all of that doesn't help you. And when you just kind of lean back and like immediately assume that you're the smartest person in the room, you shut out anyone else and therefore nothing interesting can happen from that point.
Pretty much.
Oh God, it annoys me.
So I had a better time with the film than you guys.
Did you enjoy yourself, Dee?
I mean, I can't say that I thought it was. Look, there are. I have quibbles. That's okay. All of what you said is valid and very fair because, yes, all of those are problems with it. It's hard to find why you're following these people because none of them are sympathetic protagonists. All of them are shits. But what I found interesting about the film, like not great, like not entertaining, but interesting about the film, is the way that it was deeply trying to portray the satire of the real world people that this is kind of based on. Like, I liked the fact that it was attempting to show us into this world of tech bros and Silicon Valley, you know, the leaders of the future, and actually expose them exactly what they are. They were people who were probably not very popular. They're people who probably had bad social skills, all of these things. And now that they have the money and the influence to change that, they started changing that about themselves. And when they changed that about themselves, they started to believe the ideology that they are better than other people.
Mm.
And then what does that look like when they have all of that kind of power, when you get people who are deeply, you know, deeply insecure and self-centered and unhappy with things when when you suddenly give them the agency of like, oh no, but we're the masters of the universe. We together are the people who change this. What are the flaws that could happen? It can have worldwide consequences. And this is why it shouldn't really be allowed to happen, you know. That's what I found.
I do appreciate that it did have something to say.
Yeah.
But I already was kind of there. So I didn't need 2 hours of two pros talking to tell it to me. Sure. But yeah, I mean, obviously there's a message not hidden at all.
At large.
In the film.
Yeah. And very relevant to like stuff that is literally happening this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are using AI to create fake videos. They're reposting old videos of completely different riots to fabricate what is actually happening. Yep. And it's insane. It's insane because we are living it. This mm-hmm. is not a fantasy what if, like, oh, a tale of, you know, beware kind of thing. It's like, it's literally fucking happening right now. We got to do fucking something about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was sitting there watching this and at the same time looking at my phone, watching like the National Guard be called in LA. And I'm like, this isn't funny. There's like, I can't find this funny because like the idea that these more like, especially because at the same time, the National Guard's being called out, you've got fucking Elon Musk going on a bender and essentially deciding that he doesn't like his best friend anymore and is now going to just publicly try and fuck with him. And you're like, this is puerile, it's idiotic, and everyone can see it, but these assholes.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you got a movie which is kind of then going, hey, isn't it funny? And I'm like, no.
No.
It's not funny. It's just fucking annoying.
Yeah. It's just annoying because we know all of the people in that and we believe, we have this self-belief that that's what they're like. And that's the kind of thing that we don't. So we get in there, we sort of watch it. And we're like, yeah, that's because they do that shit. And I was like, wait, they're doing that. Wait, that's not right. And that's not funny because they shouldn't be doing that, but they're doing that anyway. Look, it's very meta.
I get that the movie has a message, right? And it's like trying to tell us, you know, the state of the world right now and where AI is going and what it's capable of. Mm. But I think it might have been a more successful film if it actually gave us a solution. Like if it actually maybe gave us suggestions on what we could do to circumnavigate this.
Eat the rich, obviously.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah, but Peter, what is step one?
We've got an end point.
Eat up the barbecue.
Sorry, look,
please,
I mean,
please, I need to stop them.
Go back to the history books. It's okay. The French did it. In the 18th century.
I can't just wait for the French to do this. I need to do it. I need to do it now.
You can find all the materials you need for your guillotine down at Bunnings.
My Molotov baguette.
A Molotov baguette. Yeah, look, I appreciated the effort. I think it is a deeply flawed film, Mountainhead. It did raise some interesting issues that I found like some more information about, which is also deeply worrying. So do you want to get even more deeply worried?
Oh, please.
You're going to dig into transhumanism now?
Yes. Or as the acronymers call it, TESCREAL. TESCREAL, which is transhumanism, extra-pianism, singularitarianism, cosmism, and rationalist ideology.
So this is what they were talking about in the movie where they wanted to be like post-human? Yes,
effective altruism and long-termism. And this is a real thing. Like, I mean, you can look this up. I'm not going to go too far into this.
Go on.
No, I don't want you can do. You can do your own fucking looking into it.
Do not tell me to do my own research because let me tell you that has never ended well for anyone.
I know. Look, and it is a whole thing about being able to transcend the boundaries of human limitation by working towards this common goal that we can all go for. This is exactly what they're doing in Mountainhead. They're trying to get to a Mountainhead. I love that they explain Mountainhead. It's basically, you know, the reason they're trying to get to this is because they are deeply insecure and selfish and want to, like, live forever because they believe that they're the smartest people, all right? You can make all of that what you will, but, I mean, the interesting thing about it is there are adherents to it who have promoted these ideologies and are going in about it, and they are these people in real life. And you're talking about people like Sam Altman, Peter Thiel, and if you don't know who Peter Thiel is, let me tell you, not great. Elon Musk has been an adherent, apparently. But there's a lot of, you know, people in this space looking for these things, like, hey, yeah, we can just get to transhumanism. And it's like, in your lifetime? And they're like, yes, we're going to make that happen. So instead of trying to fix the problems, they're just like, no, if we can get us to this point, then we can continue to lead humanity in the future. And it's like, that's not the right thing to do. That's kind of like saying, I need to kill 1 billion serfs so I can remain king forever. Oh, wait, the Egyptians tried this. And it didn't work out.
Can't they just go back to cryogenics where it was safe?
Well, yeah. I think we should really push very hard for these dipshits to really go in hard on cryogenics, because as I'm pretty sure we still haven't worked out how to make it work, I'm more than happy for those dickheads to freeze themselves and remove themselves from the gene pool.
Yes.
Like, that would be very helpful.
Please do not upload your brains and create yourself an artificial existence.
I
just want to leave.
What I saw in this film is just a whole bunch of dudes who are terrified. Like, they are constantly, from the moment they're around each other, they are sniping at each other, they are attacking each other, and at every stage of the game, they are terrified. They're either terrified of death, they're terrified of, you know, being hated by people. They say that they don't care, but they are just in utter terror, and the only thing they can do is build these gigantic things around them to try and keep themselves safe emotionally, physically, whatever. And
that's very, very accurate in the portrayal. And in that sense, the film is very successful. Because it does that. It does that element of it and what it says about that. It does quite well. I mean, maybe if I hadn't literally just been on that date for 2 hours, my attitude about watching this for 2 hours would have been different.
Yeah. You feel like, I was like, wait, I just went on this date. Why am I doing it again?
Why am I doing it again? But with Steve Carell, why?
I thought some of those moments were great. Like, I really like the whatever one of the, they're all dickheads. I don't even give a shit. I don't care to know their names. All their names.
No.
I didn't want to know. You know, when he had the one who had the child, or the baby, and was like, I'm connecting with my son. It's like, wait, are those chess pieces from over there? That he's just, he looks like he's conducting an experiment. And then when he's done with it, he's like, okay, take the baby away now. Like, I don't need to see that. I mean, that's great. That's a great example of how disconnected they are and about how they feel like they're these great scions of humanity, but they're actually absolutely fucking useless if they have to do anything themselves. And every single plan.
They couldn't even kill a dude.
In the simplest way possible.
Yeah.
They couldn't even decide how to kill someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had to debate the
ethics and morality.
No, it wasn't even the ethics. No. It was just like debating the best way and most efficient way to kill somebody.
Sure.
And because they're all Six Sigma, big brain.
Oh, my God. I hated the language in this film.
I know, right? I know.
It's designed to be hateful.
So there was one character I found interesting because, like, he's the one who's set to be apart from it, and that's the character of Jeff. So played by Rami Youssef.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, right? Just another dude. One dude in the world, one dude with a million faces. What was that? Sorry, Pete?
They just all had dude names, right? I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
So, like, I had to think of it as Steve Carell, the Riddler.
I mean, Corey Michael Smith. I remember, like, you know, what a great. Yeah,
we've interviewed him. He's a nice dude.
Yeah, like on one of the first Spirited Table. He's a lovely man. And then as far as I'm like, I hate you. That's why you're a good actor. If I met you now, I'd be like, fuck, you're an asshole. No, wait, that was a character. It's just a character.
Soup. Because his name is repeated regularly enough and isn't a normal human name.
Jason Schwartzman, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, the nickname is because, like, he's the closest one to be working in a soup kitchen because he only has $500 million.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like,
gross.
Yuck.
And even though he only has $500 million, he can just afford this. You know, he's financially bound to this terrible house that he has because he's put too much of his money into it. Anyway,
Yeah. So the one I did find interesting was Rami Youssef's character, because he ostensibly is kind of playing that role of the good billionaire. Like the left-leaning, vaguely progressive, pays lip service to socialist ideas. Yeah. So much lip service. And like you're kind of watching it, and there's this little party that's like, good, fight more.
Yeah,
fight
do the thing. Like you like the entire thing is about you have the solution.
Yeah,
the needle solution. On this guy was like so close to waving, but then
I feel like that's a great thing, is that is kind of how it goes. It's like, well, it just takes one of you to say no, and they're like, but you know, maybe it's complicated.
But my numbers are going up.
But my
and again, that's like another successful thing that the film did successfully, because you could tell. I mean, they're all nice performances for the characters they are, and Rami Yusuf is so likable, just generally, and generally plays quite likable characters. So you're so primed with everything he's saying to like, oh yeah, this is the audience insert this character. Like, this is the guy that we're kind of with. And then as the film kind of like keeps going, you're like, yeah, but aren't you good? You're not going to.
Do the thing.
Cool.
Cool.
Which is, you know, again, point the film is trying and succeeding to make.
All I want to say is thank God for the lawyers. They managed to iron it all out in the end. It just goes to show, if you have a big problem and an issue you can't, you know, solve in the world, just get a fucking teams of lawyers involved. That's all you need to do.
Or start your own coup.
The thing is with billionaires, though, there's no liquidity. It's just all tied up in value of their assets. So they're not cash rich.
No, well, not as far as we know, yeah. They're certainly not soul rich.
No. Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, even just recently, Bill Gates became like liquid and was able to actually move his cash, and he put it all into fucking charities. I'm like, okay, well, there's maybe a redemption for one billionaire, but
yeah,
but honestly,
yeah, but I mean, you know, you gotta ask yourself the question, what are those charities? Are those charities that were set up under that person's name so they could just move all of their cash into a thing they don't have to pay tax on?
Yeah,
quite possibly.
Capitalism's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did like, I was just looking at some of the stuff about this, and I think there's a great review that is written by John Anderson of the Wall Street Journal. And I was just like, I think this really sums up my feelings on it, which is, for all the best writing and smart performances, who wants to spend this much time with such a repellent collection of characters? It's a lot of work for a Saturday night.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. It felt like work. It really did.
Yeah.
Dear.
Not particularly beautiful, not particularly interestingly shot. Very bland color palette.
So, ratings, come back and we chat about something else.
Ooh. I don't even know how to rate this. Because, like, I mean, I guess it did its job.
I mean, Jill, if you're gonna give it a low number, that's okay. If you didn't like it, you can just say it was bad.
Yeah, but was it?
Thing is it objectively bad just because I hated watching it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the question I frequently ask in our discussions.
Sure.
See, I mean, don't think it was an objectively bad movie. I mean, it wasn't the most moving picture to ever have been made. Like, it wasn't, you know.
Yeah, like, I mean,
creating new ground. It was
It's definitely a validation. Like, it's like, did you hate The Rich or the idea of The Rich? Watch this. You'll hate them more.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if you're gonna, like, you know, rate it on a scale of Eat the Rich films, I'll still take a Saltburn over a Mountain Head any day.
Yeah.
But just because, like, that's Eat the Rich with artistry. So there's one end of the scale.
Well, it's like, you know, Great Gatsby is kind of aspirational wealth. Like, people like it because it's full of that kind of stuff. But this one is kind of like, but what if it's Great Gatsby, but with absolute morons who are affecting real things instead of just throwing lavish parties in the 20s?
But Great Gatsby, you know,
there's
lavish
no fall
isn't
from
it beautiful?
Grace. There's no,
yeah,
there's no underlying story in this film. It's
and
just,
that's kind of the thing. Like, with Mountain Head, I was like, oh wow, and they all just kept going.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there was absolutely no comeuppance or repercussions.
That's because there isn't, and again, like, I don't disagree with that direction, because there is no comeuppance or repercussions for these people. There's not going to be. Something that we have to accept about life is that the bad people don't always have bad things happen to them. So I'm like, that doesn't bug me in general. it would kind of, you know, bug me more if there was like, you know, like a big aspirational and then they all get blown up and everything is fine, because I'd just be like
yeah,
super unrealistic.
If only the president ordered a drone strike.
Yeah.
Like, if they'd gone down that path, I would have been very entertained.
Except for the fact that Steve Carell's character actively knows how to shut down the US military because he operates all the computer systems that it's built on.
Yeah, but is that just him wanker talking, or is it true?
Also, I really loved how inept all of them were at the things that they were famous for.
Like, yes.
You know, none of them knew how to code. None of them, like, they'd gone beyond the idea that they had to do anything. They just happened to own company names and ideas, and then everyone else worked for them. Like, yeah, they couldn't do shit, but they just told other people to do shit for them. Like, yeah.
Yep.
And maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's the little bit, the undercurrent, which is like, these people are powerless and stupid when it comes down to the one-on-one. So stop edifying them. Maybe, hopefully, mm-hmm, that's the message that they were trying to get through with Mountain Head. Anyway, 5 stars. Yeah. Loved it.
I guess that's a good question, Dion. Like, concept? You know, what is the message? I liked what Quinny said before about it being like a portrait of just very, very afraid men. I hadn't really thought of it like that, but actually the performances kind of fit that really well. And looking back on it through that lens actually makes me like the film slightly more.
And each one of the characters is afraid of a different archetype. And that was what I found slightly interesting. I mean, look, it's a tough watch. Yeah, I'm not going to recommend that people go out and spend the 2 hours to go through this. But, I mean, some of the redeeming stuff, you know, one of them is afraid of dying. Fine. One of them is afraid of their legacy. One of them is afraid their girlfriend's going to go and fuck a bunch of people at a sex party. You know, that's funny in a certain way. One of them is afraid that they're never going to be the cool kid in the group. All of them are pretty much the same sort of thing. You know, those are the kind of tenets that are driving them through. And ultimately, we all pay the price. Fuck, I don't know, guillotines, man.
I tell you what, it's a perfect fucking HSC watch. They should be doing curriculum on this movie.
Yeah,
sure, true.
Because if I had to watch Witness 20 times, I'm going to make a 15-year-old watch fucking Mountain Head 20
isn't
times.
Isn't it fucking strange about how the world is actively engaged with Amish culture? Because we all know about the Amish, but does any... Like,
from Witness.
From Witness.
From Witness. Or Sex
Drive.
Because
we all had to study it in high school.
Yeah. But I mean, it's so strange how we all, like so, oh, yeah, the Amish, because we saw that on American shows that talked about the Amish, especially Witness. And it's like, oh, okay.
Like look, everybody knows what Rumspringer is.
When I watch a film, I'm not watching it to write an essay. So I would like a little less nuance and a little bit more, a little bit more straight up facts and obvious portrayals. So,
a little less edging.
This could have been more of a, it could have been a dramatization on real people and I would have believed it. But unfortunately, I just like a lot of the stuff that the points that Dion was bringing up were just completely lost on me because I was too absorbed in my hate. So I'm just going to give it a 60.
Okay. Nice.
I see all of your points and I validate them. But for me, like, I didn't get them in the moment. So this movie was completely lost on me.
I feel seen and heard, Jill. Thank you.
I'm kind of with Jill. I don't think it's actually a bad movie. I think that it makes its point that it is trying to make successfully. And I think the performance is really fit. But I didn't have a good time watching it, and my general sense while watching it was one of boredom. So even though it may be because I am not the audience, I'm gonna also say 60.
Okay.
Because that reflects my experience.
Also, watching a movie where every woman was a servant character, I'm like,
that's the other thing, and it's a part of the point. It's part of the point, but
yes,
like,
I know.
It didn't increase my enjoyment of
exactly.
the experience. Yeah.
Qu- Quinny, do you have Dion, a number?
Well, did you like? Are you literally going 100% for this? Because that's 5 out of 5, buddy.
No, that was a joke. My actual review is 50. It's 50 out of 100. I know. It seems so strange that I was like, I'm effusively about it. Like, yes, I know it has all these tenets, but I fucking hated the way that it was delivered to me. I wanted more fun and satire. Yeah. In the end, I was just kind of like, oh, it was a tough watch, and there wasn't a real good twist in there. Mm. Like, I agree, there was no real good twist. I wanted a little bit more out of it, and in the end, I just fucking hated these people. And I was like, I don't need to watch this. It's really happening.
Yeah.
You know, and instead of portraying some of it in, you know, a slightly more entertaining and flippant way, which is like, hey, look at all this bad shit that's happening, i.e. The Big Short or other films of that nature, which is like, oh, cool, oh, wait, this is terrible, oh, my God, why they did that? It's like, this one is just kind of like, look at all these assholes. Anyway, you have nothing. Yeah. You started with nothing watching this, and you have nothing now watching this. Bye.
Yeah. I didn't feel edified. I didn't feel like enlightened or anything like that. I just felt enraged and more sad by the end of it, because I was just like, you know, even the last few shots are these like moments where you're like, nobody's learnt anything.
Nope.
You like, nobody has come out of this any better. The world is still fucked. And there's a version of this film where, as you say, the president orders a drone strike, and then they have to go running through the snow, and they all get shot one by one in the snow. And I am down for that film. Look, like,
do we all remember Don't Look Up, that film that came out a little while ago?
Yes.
Yeah.
At least at the end of that, when the rich counts got to the different planet, you know, one of them immediately got eaten by one of the native wildlife. It was dumb, but at least there was a little bit of like, yeah, fuck you.
It's a 55 from me. Like, there's just nothing particularly enjoyable about it. But, I mean, it's all well shot enough, but it's boring.
Look, a waste of a great cast.
It's in focus, as we say. Yeah,
exactly. It's in focus.
All the sets.
You know, the editor did their job.
All the sets were believable.
Yeah, like it's an actual.
They did shoot it in an actual mansion.
Yeah, which was in between owners at the time.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to go and look up Tesk Reel, and then figure out what the fuck that's all about, you can get even further down the terrifying rabbit hole.
No, thank you.
Let's go to a trailer for something completely different, and then talk about other shit.
Okay.
My son, tell me why we fight.
Because our enemy still lives.
You all have traveled far and missed the warmth of home. But tonight, think of only one thing. Killing the monster.
You're not hearing me. There's something else up in the sky. And it's not human.
I pray you bloody your spear tonight. You are ready now. Only one way to kill it. We must fight together.
Here we go.
Okay, look, I mean, that was fucking fun. That's Predators. That's animation. Pete, I don't understand why you don't like this.
Yeah, I didn't even know what we're looking at.
Look, that's Killer of Killers. It came out on Hulu. Oh, fuck, I don't know. I don't know where shit comes out anymore.
Disney Plus/Hulu.
There we go. Thank you. I got confused about Max and things. But look, if you haven't seen Killer of Killers, that's a great animation. I just wanted to talk about that slightly, but other people have seen other things, and that's what.
Hey, whoa! Fucking, you're skipping over Killer of Killers in a big hurry.
I know, but this wasn't on the schedule. This is just random thoughts that are popping out now, and I don't want to freak anyone out.
Okay, well, I can I please say something about Killer of Killers?
It's derivative.
Have to. Okay.
Well, yes, I do have to, because it's fucking badass.
It's bad. I heard you say bad.
No. You know how there are all those ideas that you had where, like, wouldn't it be cool if Predator had to go up against, like, a samurai? Or wouldn't it be cool if Predator had to go up against, like, a Viking or something like that? That's this film. It's just, okay. Like, it's three short stories from different time periods of different predators, different prey, and then it ties it all together into a bigger plot. And the animation is really fucking cool. But on top of that, it's heaps of fun. It's super gory, super violent, and thoroughly enjoyable.
Did Peter, Jill, did either of you see Prey, that movie about
Yes, so Dan Trachtenberg reviewed it.
Yes, yeah. Just checking if it's in the memory. I didn't mean that. Same writer director for these, so it's got a little bit of chutzpah. I'm just annoyed with it because it's not live action, and it could have easily been live action because this is a good continuation of the Predator narratives,
right?
In that way, and I'm just kind of like, oh damn! But also interesting ideas because it is kind of like three short vignettes, and I'm not 100% where how they're going with the Predator world, the Predator and Predator culture and all that kind of thing. But I really like the human stories that were in it, which was interesting. Okay. I highly recommend it. Go watch it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's sitting there. It's much like Prey. They've not done a huge amount of promotion for it, but it's sitting there on Disney Plus. And much you will have a good night.
The Mountain Head. Speaking of good times, how was Training Your Dragon again?
Oh, God, please tell me.
Yeah.
Tell me how DreamWorks reanimated the same fucking dragons that they did the first time.
So I wanted to say thank you to Geek of Oz, who couldn't make it to the screening. Like, does anyone want to go? And I was like, yeah, fuck it, I'll go. And went and watched this in the IMAX. And yes, that is definitely exactly the same.
Frame for frame?
Pretty much. Frame for frame, shot for shot, scene for scene. I've written, I actually was kind of so annoyed and irked by it that I've actually written a proper review, which is on the website now.
I have to read.
When he did work, he was so irked.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Sometimes I think that, you know, I'm better at forming words into long sentences. But yeah, like it's problematic, not problematic. It is difficult because it is that thing of going, the first film back in 2010 was great.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was energetic. It was something new, had wonderful characters and had all of this lovely adventurous excitement. And so does this because it's the same movie. Like the same jokes, the same design, like the literally beat for beat, shot for shot in certain sequences. And I was like,
would you say that Hollywood is bankrupt?
It's trying to not be bankrupt because it wants more money.
Yeah. Would you say that there is a now and
they're bankrupt of ideas?
Yeah. There is an unfortunate dollar driven narrative that's pervading through all of this creative business that is solely focused on recovering money instead of creative outlet, and that is artistically creating a void that they're hoping AI will fill.
Yeah, look, it's bizarre because, like, I know a kid will watch this and they will be blown away because
also give them the fucking DVD.
They absolutely get the same they reaction. Could, and like, but the thing like. It's bizarre because Gerard Butler plays the same character. So there are parts of it where it's like it's almost into Uncanny Valley, but the other way around.
Yeah, yeah.
like where you're like, oh, gee, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, you don't look, you don't look the same.
Yeah, yeah. Like the thing is, it's quite good, but like you know, because the original film was quite good. It's if you like the first film, you will probably like this because it does exactly the same things. It's just that when you look into its eyes, you can see that there's nothing past them.
Yeah.
The best description I could think of, which I put in the review, is that it's a bit like repertory theatre. You know, when you do a play,
mm-hmm.
you know, you've got a really good cast. You've got a good director. The play's been written, and so you just do the play again. But this one, the director was like, no, 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 we're doing exactly as it was done on Broadway. And we're not going to make any changes at all. And the actors right. don't get to have any say in it. They just get to do exactly what they did in the Broadway one. And if you deviate even a little bit, I'm going to spray you with a water bottle.
Walk to the mark, say the line, get off the stage.
Exactly.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So excited for that.
Yeah.
At least with like the Disney ones, they're turning like a 2D animation into a CGI thing. But like this is just CGI to CGI, but then with humans.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the one thing I forgot to put in the review is the one thing it doesn't do well is the flying stuff.
Oh, God.
Which is the one thing you sort of think that probably would have been the thing to try and get right. I mean, it may have been because I saw it on an IMAX and it was a fucking huge screen and it was, but honestly, there was a little too much of the close-ups and whippy and stuff around, so I couldn't.
They should have done a Margot Kidder voiceover of like, can you read my mind? Flying through the air.
Yeah, yeah. It took me a moment because I thought you were talking about Margot Robbie and I was very confused.
Can you read my mind, Puddin'? Sorry.
Pete, sorry, you just quoted something that is a deep cut. But like
I meant it to be as deep as it came out.
Sarah yes. Connor Chronicles for unsatisfactory yes. cliffhanger ending. Holy yes. shit.
Thank you. Absolutely great series. Well done. Yeah, Sarah Connor Chronicles is great, but fuck me.
Yeah, no, I fully started watching it well after it had been cancelled, and then I was like, what? Yeah, why would I do that? Yeah. Sorry, the context for anyone who's not in the chat is that I'm chatting with Casper in the chat about Wheel of Time and that I'm very disappointed that it's been cancelled because series three was quite good and it was not tied up at all at the end. It was a massive cliffhanger that I didn't even realise it was the end of the season. I turned it on the next week. I was like, what?
Oh, no.
Well, you know, to be honest, I watched maybe three episodes of the first season of Wheel of Time and then I never returned to it. So is it worth going? Is it worth going back?
It's just you don't have the staying power.
I do not. No,
I liked Wheel of Time. I thought it was genuinely good fantasy television, particularly in seasons two and three. Some really, really good, like, big battle scenes that felt quite theatrical and cool. Character arcs were happening. I don't know. I was into it, but I'm a fantasy nerd, so maybe it wasn't that great. I don't know.
Is Shadow and Bone still going?
Nope.
I didn't like Shadow and Bone as much as I liked Wheel of Time, but that right. did get a second season at least.
It did, yeah. And then it got canned after that.
Yeah.
Right. the typical Netflix thing.
Yeah.
Oh, two seasons and you're done.
But they're coming out with the final season of Stranger Things, so...
I can't even be bothered. I swear, it's been too long. I don't give a
kids
shit.
Kids are all in their mid-30s now.
Yeah, hopefully.
They were to begin with. But...
The Stranger Things is just the comparison of headshot from the first season to the last season of the kids. And it's like, yep, that's real strange.
Yeah.
yeah, anyway.
What have you been watching, Jill?
I've been watching Hacks. I've been watching Poker Face. Been watching Welcome to Wrexham. Nice. I've been watching wrestling.
What particular kind of wrestling?
I've watched Lucha Libre on the weekend. WWE took ownership of AAA wrestling, And they had an event on this weekend called Worlds Collide. So it was a lot of the WWE superstars versus the luchadors. And so there was a lot of like mixed matches. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's nice. On YouTube, so you can find it. You don't need a subscription to anything.
Okay. Yeah. Because I saw it was on Netflix, but I didn't realize it was straight to YouTube.
Yeah. The Worlds Collide event was on YouTube, so you can go and check that out if you're interested.
Yeah, nice.
Love luchador wrestling. It's really fun.
I always enjoyed the luchador stuff because it is like it's not even attempting to be like the big hard hitting, big smashy stuff from the normal wrestlers. It's high flying, it's top rope, it's acrobatic, it's
When you see them doing like 480 like corkscrew flips off the top rope on like it's crazy shit. It's so much fun.
Yeah, they're having fun.
Yeah. Nice.
Trying to think what else. Oh, what we were talking about sirens before.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that anymore.
That is a weird show.
It's a weird show. It ended in a weird place. And
But I'll tell you what's a weird show that I love that we're going to talk about next week.
Ah.
Ooh.
Murderbot.
Yay.
Murderbot.
Yes, that's our next week.
Yeah, right. Watch Murderbot. Do the homework because it's fun homework. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is fun homework.
And what's it on?
And it's easy homework because the episodes are so damn short. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Annoyingly short.
So annoyingly short. Like, stop stopping.
Yeah.
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 Apple TV.
Yeah. The I guess the thing with Murderbot is that it feels like every episode should go longer. It doesn't feel like a 26-minute like sitcom.
Yeah, you kind of feel like you get to the end of the second act and you're like, okay, so now the rest of it, and then the episode ends. Yeah.
You're like,
Just push through the first episode a bit because you might watch it in the first 10 minutes be like, nah. Yeah, it only goes for 20 minutes, so just keep going.
Yeah.
Anyway, more on that next week, otherwise we will not have anything to talk about next
week. That's a good point.
Well, I've been watching a lot of true crime weird stuff. If anyone is on HBO wants to watch The Mortician, now that is an interesting... It's about a very famous Californian funeral home and about how... few people went to prison and stuff and about their practices that they were doing. And it just gets, it's one of those ones where it's coming out periodically. It's only had like two episodes and there's more to come, but like halfway through, it's like, oh yeah. And then they did this and you're like, oh my God. And then it just keeps building. You're like, oh my God, they were what? How? Yeah. Anyway, check that out. But yeah, true crime stuff. That's interesting. Sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction.
Oh, the other thing I realized I have been watching that I am now in a very torn place over has been Doctor Who.
I'm so far behind on it. I can't even. I'm so far behind. I really need to have a break from work and catch up on some things.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you should take all of that time off and only catch up on things. Like it's an entire second job, Peter.
Yes, exactly.
And feel guilty about
and
it.
And or like... Oh my God, so many things. Don't even. I know.
You don't need to watch Andor. You can literally just watch what's going on in LA right now. There's episode 8 of season 2 right there for you.
I did enjoy this season of Doctor Who, Quinny. Why?
I know. I enjoyed it. I loved it. Yeah. I was really, really into it, but I'm sad because by the looks of it, Disney has not renewed their contract.
Oh.
Yeah. And unfortunately, because of that and because of the fact that they took so long to make the decision to renew their contract is why we – and I don't want – Pete, do you want to know?
Oh, may as well. I'm going to see something.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is why we got a regeneration at the end of the season. Basically, they'd left Shuri hanging for the best part of a year. So the last – stuff was literally shot a year ago.
Wow.
And they hadn't renewed his contract. And then back in February this year, they then went and did reshoots to completely redo the ending to
give him an out.
So does BBC not own this anymore?
BBC do own it, but because it was the bulk of the money for it was coming from Disney.
Fucking hell. Disney.
Maybe they'll go back to like the old BBC production of it where it's like, oh, look, carpet on the wall. Oh, quick, throw some junk on this person and they're an alien, you know.
Yeah, do that.
But Disney only got involved recently, didn't they? They haven't been involved in the
entire international streaming, like, because it did get a bigger fan base in the States. I thought that's all they were there.
Unfortunately, because of international streaming, the legacy broadcasters no longer have the budgets and money that they used to have. So,
yeah.
So, a very, very long running show maybe is no longer in the BBC's budget. I don't know.
And the shitty part about it is one of the rumors, and it's a pretty big rumor, is that the main reason that Disney actually got involved with them on that was so that they could get the license to Bluey. and I was like, fuck. So at the moment, we've got a special, I think it's 6-episode show coming up called The War Between the Land and the Sea, which I'm not entirely sure when that is. It's later this year. But after that, there is nothing confirmed, which is a shitty situation to find it in. And the worst part is Shitty was fucking great.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, he was legitimately a really, really good doctor. And like the shows were like unashamedly queer, totally fucking progressive, really taking swipes at fucking anything that wasn't nailed down. Yeah. I loved the amount of representation that we were seeing for disabilities. Yeah. Like, there is, like, Russell T was really kind of leaning in on the whole, this show is progressive as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're like, okay, well, we'll just hope that somebody picks it up then.
Yeah.
And put some money behind it. I'm hoping Netflix or somebody like that goes, you know.
Can't rely on the streamers anymore, buddy. They're not spending like they used to.
I know. Mm. I mean, maybe we could
Dot-commed the TV industry. It's a dire situation, honestly.
Yeah, and they got their revenue model, and it's like, we need to keep increasing. It's like, how? We're going to put money up. We're going to put ads in. We're going to do all this stuff. And everyone's like, oh, no, this is not what we asked for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, with Netflix now changing their ad service to being AI-driven. It's like...
Yeah. I mean... You know, this is the problem, is that there's always this consistent thing about requirement of a growth model, and that's not how cable TV kind of works. You have a consistency of economy in, and should be a consistent economy out. They're like, no, always more money, need more money. More money, shareholder. Shareholder, more money.
With the sad thing being, like, obviously, Doctor Who is the legacy of one of the world's great public broadcasters. And now to see it on hold because somebody's not making enough profit from it does feel a little bit against the spirit of something that came from one of the world's great public broadcasters.
Yes. Protect your public broadcasters, people. Anyway, next week, Murderbot. Funny. Funny how those two things come together. It's like, oh, look, how do we protect public broadcasting? A Murderbot.
Yes.
Think so. Like Mountainhead, slightly disappointing.
Yeah. That was a film. The conversation afterwards is far more interesting to me.
Sure.
I mean, the conversation with you four. Three.
Four. Where?
It's four on my screen, but then I realized I was one of them. Sigma six.
It's
big
the Quinny that you've been being mean to, Quinny. You're giving yourself a dissociative
identity disorder?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew where you were going with it.
Stop being mean to Quinny, and then maybe Quinny will stop being mean to you.
Leave Quinny alone.
Also, if you're in Sydney at the moment, Sydney Film Festival's on, so get out there and maybe see a film.
Did you watch a film recently?
Yes, just last night. I went and saw Lesbian Space Princess.
Cool.
It's good. We'll chuck the trailer into the post and something there, but yeah, look up the trailer for Lesbian Space Princess. It's very fun, and I learn a lot about queer culture that I am not actively in because the movie was very 100,000,000,000% not for me. As that, but I had a good time as the audience.
That's good
because it was fun. Yeah. go watch it. You know, go watch something. It's fun. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Have a great day, mate. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you next time for the Dotty Murder.
Yeah.
Mm. Fun time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.